It takes courage to remain true to one's convictions. Are you true to your convictions? Do you have any convictions about God? I would invite you to look into it. At Daleville Christian Church, we proclaim our faith each week, utilizing God's Word, and our affirmation of faith today comes from Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 5th through the 11th verses. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reading for today from God's Word is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, where we read about the ascension of Jesus to the Heavenly Father. And I would say it's also Memorial Day, but we are also going to focus more on Jesus' ascension and remind ourselves why we want to remember Jesus' ascension to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said he was going to the Father. He said it 6 times in John's Gospel. And so we see him go to the Heavenly Father. In my former book, Theophilus, you recall that Luke wrote 2 volumes, the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. And the Book of Luke begins with an address to Theophilus, maybe a person, maybe a group of people, since Theophilus means lover of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly 2 men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's message will especially be helpful to any one of us with a tender conscience. Now, a person of a tender conscience is exact in observing any personal deviation from the Word of God, whether in thought or word or work, and immediately feels remorse and self-condemnation for it. This is usually considered an excellent quality to have. But sometimes this excellent quality, tenderness of conscience, is carried to an extreme. We find some of us who fear where there is no fear. Those who are continually condemning ourselves without cause, imagining some things to be sinful, which the Scripture nowhere condemns, and supposing other things to be our duty, actions, or tasks that they have come to believe are their duty, when the Lord has not called them to those tasks or duties, especially if God's word does not say so. That is called a scrupulous conscience. By definition, my source claims that a tender conscience is a good thing, but maybe we're talking about a line, a progressive line, and I put a little bit of a kind of chart for you there in the sermon notes. I didn't think about drawing a big chart and putting it up for all of you to see because it only can have three words on it, on a line. Good conscience, next to it is tender conscience, and next to it is scrupulous conscience, and you can put arrows on either end. You go up and down this line. I myself, generally speaking, tend toward the scrupulous conscience. As an example, it would be easy for me to condemn myself for not getting my mother a gift for Father's Day. That is a scrupulous conscience, and mine tends that way. And here's another painful fact for those of us who tend toward the tender conscience. The tender conscience works backward in time. It's easy for us to remember things we should have done, or we simply remember things that might have been good to do, or told ourselves that we would do and then didn't do them because other events interfered. Yes, that's right. It's not easy being me. Those of us of tender conscience can also remember our sins with searing pain. We probably shouldn't remember our sins with pain. I guess that would be another bad thing that I do. The Lord states in His Word, in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 43:25, I, the Lord, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And the author of the book of Hebrews reflected this same truth back in chapter 8. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. You may also find it in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31. Let me quote another source, which comes to a good conclusion about these verses, but then I think heads in the wrong direction. These passages make it evident that God does not remember our sins. However, God's not remembering is not what we usually think of as forgetfulness, because God is omniscient. God knows everything. God forgets nothing. However, God can choose not to remember something. Okay, author, I'm with you so far. But then the author said, in human relationships, we can choose to remember the offenses someone has committed against us, or we can choose to forget. Well, that's where he lost me, because I myself have not discovered that to be true. At least I cannot choose to forget the wrongs I have done or the imagined things I have done or left undone. Some of us suffer from a condition called intrusive memory. In severe cases, for combat veterans, it's called flashback. A person will remember something instantly from out of nowhere with the same intensity of feeling and pain as at the time it happened. And that's another difference between us and God. God can choose to forget. God can choose to forget. We human beings, at least in my case, often cannot choose to forget. And sometimes, even if we want to forget something, we can't. And if anyone tends to a scrupulous conscience, you can remember your own imagined offenses with pain. By the way, this same writer, this author, went on to claim that forgiveness helps prevent us from dwelling on the past. Well, that's great if forgiveness can do that for you. Forgiveness has never done that for me. The phrase forgive and forget makes no sense to me. If someone wants to claim that that idea is biblical, I would have you notice that God is the one who can forgive and forget. I can only pray for help in forgiving, and it doesn't seem to matter if I want to forget something. I don't forget. I remember my own sin painfully. I had many conversations with my late mother that went like this. She would say, "Do you remember that?" And I'd say, "Yes, but I remind you, Mom, there are many things I'm trying to forget." To forgive someone, we must often put painful memories out of our minds. We don't actually forget, it's that we are unable to recall the details. This happens sometimes in traumatic accidents. The person can remember having the accident and events leading up to it, and even though they were conscious throughout the ordeal, they do not recall, cannot recall the details of the accident. It's a way the brain kind of protects itself from the pain of memory. So we may not actually forget what happened, and it may not be that we're unable to recall, but we can choose to forget some of the details. Forgiveness can help us from ruminating on some of that, some of the details, or recalling them. Nonetheless, Jesus is here to help us. Now, there might be a reason that I can't forget my sins. In Revelation 12:10, we read, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" Friends, until the end of all things, there in the heavenly places, Satan is the prosecuting attorney, accusing us before the judge of our sins. All the while God is forgetting our sins, Satan is bringing them up again to God. And I've always been impressed that Satan does this day and night. Before Satan gets expelled from heaven for all eternity, the devil has access to heaven where he accuses believers. Job chapter 1 confirms this fact. You recall the story of Job, where Satan has been walking the earth and comes into God's presence, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan basically says, if you lean on him a little bit, he'll crack. Now we come to Jesus' work on our behalf. Celebrating Ascension Sunday is about celebrating what Jesus is doing for us in heaven now, every day. We always tend to put our focus on Jesus' work on earth in the past, his teaching, his preaching, his healing, and his death on the cross, and his resurrection. This is where we always put our focus, and that's okay. But it's like remembering what gift you got at Easter, and you forget what you received at Christmas. And when we do that, we cut our thanksgivings in half. In this case, we always remember what Jesus did on earth at Easter, but we forget Jesus' gift of the ascension. Jesus did more than die on the cross for us. Yes, that was key. But Jesus had to come to earth first and be obedient. That's part of what we celebrate at Christmas. Once Jesus is obedient unto death, even death on a cross, Jesus has more work to do, and Jesus' work in the heavenly places continues to this day. Jesus not only said that he was going to the Father, but Jesus said that from there, Jesus will send the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus doesn't use the word Holy Spirit. Jesus uses a word that can be translated many ways, and that word often is translated ways, and I'm just going to focus on one of them, the word advocate, or the translation of the word advocate. Jesus is going to the Heavenly Father, that's Ascension Sunday, that's what we're celebrating, and will be seated, or will stand, at God's right hand. The right hand is where the most trusted sits. The right hand is where the heir sits, the closest person to the king, who can speak easily and quickly to the king. Think royal etiquette here. If you sit at the king's right hand, you don't have to be announced. You're already there in the room right next to the king. You don't have to be allowed to approach the king. You're already right there. For some governments, the right-hand seat is the seat of the authority. Jesus would have the office of celestial prime minister, accountable to no other earthly ruler. And the Bible says that right next to God, Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is making intercession for us. The prophet Isaiah saw this as what Messiah would do, fulfilling Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, which I will read now. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Intercession for the transgressors. That's us. In Job's case, one commentator suggested that Satan lacked the necessary evidence to get Job convicted of sin, so Satan asked to lean on Job, and then asked to lean harder and press Job to see if he couldn't get some dirt to get Job convicted. Satan kind of sees this as Satan's job. You see, Satan has keyed into God's divine justice that requires retribution. But Satan has chosen to not press God for any mercy, but rather press for conviction. So who will plead Job's case before God? Who will plead anyone's case before God that the Lord show mercy and grace? And the answer, Jesus will. Jesus will plead our case for mercy. The word in the Greek is paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete. Literally means one who is called to someone's aid, and therefore gets translated one who appears on another's behalf, a mediator, an intercessor, a helper. However, the more legal usage for paraclete is the word advocate. A legal advocate is also an acceptable translation. So we read about Jesus as an intercessor. Romans chapter 8. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Later in chapter 8, he also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Hebrews chapter 7, since he always lives to intercede for them. So even as we read in the book of Revelation that Satan is accusing us night and day, we have an advocate, a defense attorney. And we have the best defense attorney there is, Jesus Christ. Now we could talk about how at the great white throne judgment, Jesus is also the judge. Which is even better, right? Wouldn't you like to go to court personally knowing the judge who will oversee your case? That you and the judge are friends? And that you know the judge actually already paid your fines? Paid your punishment? Wouldn't that be great? Well, we celebrate at Ascension that Jesus has gone to the Heavenly Father to do that very thing for you and me. Jesus died for you. Jesus paid the price of God's justice for you. And now Jesus advocates for you in the court of divine justice, saying, "Your divine honor, my client has already pleaded guilty to all charges. And I myself, your honor, have paid my client's penalty. We would ask that you dismiss this case forthwith." If you have a tender conscience, I trust that our Lord will work it for good. If you suffer from a scrupulous conscience, I pray that the Lord will remind you of this day. Remember Balloon Day at Daleville Christian Church, where we see the balloons go up, just as Jesus said he was going to the Heavenly Father. There in the heavenly places, Jesus continues to work for you and for me, to advocate for us before the Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Amen.